This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're examining what the state's recently adopted budget means for seniors in New York. To make sense of the spending and policies that impact older New Yorkers, we're joined by Assembly Aging Committee Chair Ron Kim, a Queens Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Assembly Member.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Dan.
So with the hope of, I guess, starting off on a positive note, is there anything in the adopted budget for seniors that you think will be particularly beneficial or was maybe just a nice surprise based on how negotiations were going?
Sure. I mean, we've had significant increases to our COLA funding. You know, we held the line as much as possible for Medicaid, and we're continuing to spend money on home care and community care services that will help people who rely on non-Medicaid funding sources. That was a big win, and we look forward to getting more funding for those spaces in the future.
You mentioned the COLA, or cost of living adjustment, that was included for the human services sectors more broadly. Are there a number of workers who provide, say, elder services that fall under this umbrella of workers at nonprofits who are going to be getting a raise?
Sure. I think there are workers across the sector, including people who work for social adult daycares to nursing homes to other facilities that will be directly impacted by the increase. We're also focused on shifting gears toward fully supporting home and community care services. More and more older adults and their families are opting in to stay home for their care as long as possible. And we need to do a better job understanding the needs and filling in the gaps so people don't fall through the cracks. Because when they do, they ultimately will end up in long-term care facilities, costing the state a lot more money than we need to be spending.
Well, thinking about the victories or positive elements of the state budget, I'm curious whether you view those as things that were only possible because the legislature went to bat for them, or were some of these things spending priorities or policies that were part of the governor's initial budget?
The governor, despite the narrative of how she cares for older and people and family caregivers, she zeroed out most of our budget that we won, not last year's budget, specifically programs that's called the ICIP program, which is a program for non-Medicaid home care. We won big by putting in, I think, $9.3 million last year, and she cut that out in our initial proposal. So we had to fight to restore and add more money to it. And that makes a big difference because she kept that in. We could have really made a dent on, in tackling the 16 to 18,000 older adults that are on a waiting list to receive these services, of which if we don't reach out to and serve, many of them, approximately 10% of that population, would spend down and impoverish themselves to qualify for Medicaid, costing the state hundreds of millions of dollars more. And that's why we needed to invest more. And she in her executive proposal, she cut all those programs out, which we thought was very detrimental to this process.
Well, yeah, sticking with the non-Medicaid elder care services like Meals on Wheels and transportation assistance, advocates in this space have been sounding the alarm about the thousands of seniors who are on waiting lists to actually access these services. You talk about funding these services to address the backlog. Is this something where we're talking about tens of millions of dollars and a $238 billion budget? Or is it a lot more money than that? And maybe it really is something that's difficult to find the money to fund.
No, we needed $40 million, which the Assembly budget put in, and the executive ultimately settled on $10 million in the final budget, which addresses up to about 25% of those on the waiting list. The waiting list is it's, it compounds every year. It grows and grows. So when you don't completely, put up the money to address them, which the money that goes directly to the counties to serve these individuals, the number only increases every single cycle. So I think she did a disservice by cutting it out and making us fight to restore that money in this budget cycle. And I hope that in light of what we're doing with the master plan for aging, we can circle back right away and come together to understand where we fell short. Because at the end of the day, it's not a lot of money, and the 40 plus million dollars, it will pay for itself based on the Medicaid savings in the next 2 to 3 years that we would get from that investment.
Well, you bring up the master plan for aging that the state is in the process of crafting right now, and a lot of what stakeholders have been arguing that needs to be funded as part of that master plan on aging are things that have not been fully funded in this budget or previous budgets by the governor. So as you think about the meaningfulness of a master plan on aging moving forward, is this going to have to come with some major new investments for the plan to be, I guess, not just a worthless piece of paper?
Yeah, it's the difference between having a symbolic document versus something that has teeth behind it that will save the state billions in Medicaid spendings. And it's the difference between allowing industry-driven groups that are looking at the older population as a means to extract as much money from the public system, or we to doing our job and getting back into the business of caring for people. And for me, that's what the master plan can provide us, as an opportunity to reactivate our state and county governments to get back into the business of caring for people, instead of punting their responsibility to third parties and contractors, where they see older lives as just dollar signs that they can extract from the system.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Assembly Aging Committee Chair Ron Kim, a Queens Democrat. When you think about the spending in this budget, funding that goes towards programs that are supposed to help seniors, is there any money that you feel like is being wasted or maybe misspent? Because you just talked about these third-party entities who are in this for themselves, to paraphrase you. So I'm curious whether you think there are examples of areas that we shouldn't be spending money necessarily.
Yeah, the moment that we decided to punt the responsibility of paying for Medicaid and other type of care through managed care organizations or insurance companies, I think we lost our ability to hold people accountable and really have direct oversight how these programs are administered. We are wasting close to $3 billion on intermediary fees through these managed care organizations. And instead of curtailing that, holding them accountable, and going back to a fee-for-service or a hybrid fee-for-service model where we can use county governments to pay for the caring services, we are instead, the governor led the effort to hyper-focus on fiscal intermediaries, those FIs that are in charge of paying for family caregivers. And we directed the public to think that they're the ones that's causing the misspendings in Medicaid, when in reality, it's the managed care organizations and insurance companies that's driving up the cost, and that are the real reason why we're wasting so much money in Medicaid in our system.
Well, coming back to this year's budget, during negotiations, we heard from the AARP New York about their concerns about funding for the so-called long-term care ombudsman program, which oversees some of the watchdogs for the elder care facilities in New York. What sort of funding is there in this budget for this important oversight entity?
Yeah, we've added 2.5, and then there's money left over from last year that they haven't spent all. So the ultimate goal is to get to $15 million, and I think we're at about a little bit over 5 million altogether there. And we had discussions with the administration. Even if we were able to release $15 million today, they can't scale fast enough to hire the proper staff. They just don't have the administrative capacity to build out a program. And that's really sad, but that's just the reality of how our state government has been functioning over the last 20, 30 years. Because we've normalized the culture of outsourcing and contracting out our services to third parties, when it's time to actually build out programs like the LTCOP ombudsman program, we just don't have the institutional knowledge and sometimes the political will to actually do it. But we are working closely with our allies inside the State Office for Aging. They're dedicated to doing this. So we expect in the next 2 to 3 years to have a fully functioning and robust ombudsman program that can truly go in and be an advocate and a watchdog for long-term care facilities.
Well, we've talked about some of the initiatives that can help New Yorkers stay out of long-term facilities, but for some, those are the best option, maybe the only option. And I'm curious whether you think the state is doing enough to fund those operations, whether it has to do with supporting staff, the Medicaid reimbursement rates, or just that picture overall. Because this is such a big portion of the budget, is there more that you think we could be doing, or are we committing as much as it makes sense at this point?
No, I think we need to hold the bad operators accountable and support the good upper operators that are in desperate need of more funding. I think there's a lot of low-hanging private equity firms that have swept in and took over some of these facilities, cutting down personnel, capital improvements to make their bottom line. And those are the type of operators that we need to root out and really help some of the community-based and municipal-run centers that need our support. And that's something that we still need to go back and fix, because so far we just give them a blank check for the entire industry, of which the bad operators often benefit the most without any proper accountability to make sure that they're functioning correctly.
Well, we've been speaking with Assembly Aging Committee Chair Ron Kim. He is a Queens Democrat. Assembly member, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yep, anytime. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
And for more Capital Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.